Now, Sami Adandan is a president of the Lebanese Muslim Association. He was also a member of Prime Minister, or then Prime Minister John Howard's Muslim Reference Group, and he is on the line now. Sami Adandan, good morning. Thank you for talking
Good
to us.
morning.
Your reaction to what's happened?
Such a sad day in our history as Australia to see and witness what has sort of evolved. Our heart and mind obviously goes to those who have paid the price with their life, as well as those who have spent 17 hours in such an ordeal, and you can just imagine the trauma that they are going through at the moment. We're witnessing an event that is absolutely shocking in our history, and there's no word that can describe it any further.
The man, it's reported, the gunman recently converted to extremism, Sunni Islam. What does that mean?
But we're still waiting on some of the information and some of the facts that are coming through. This is not an issue between sectarianism, whether he was a Shiite initially and then recently become a Sunni. I don't have any report to confirm that.
Yeah.
It's been reported or alleged to be that case, but regards what it is, we need to look at this situation from the facts as how it's sort of been portrayed, where he, someone who suffered psychological issues, someone who is being accused from many different criminal activities, being associated with the murder of his ex-wife, someone who has been also committed many different sexual assaults. This is a guy that definitely has the traits of psychological dilemmas. But nevertheless, he has committed what he has committed, and our heart and mind at this point in time is really with those who have paid the price with their life.
Well, that's true, but he has done it in the name of ISIS, hasn't he?
This is where my concern is. If we keep promoting this for those who may be suffering this type of psychological issues where they want to make themselves as heroes or martyrs, and then you're going to have multiple copycats, we need to see it for exactly for what it is. There is no report that links him in a very collaborative form with any such organized entity. The traits of what we've seen of how ISIL commits is a bit different, but nevertheless, I'm not taking anything away from it. It is what it is. And we need, again, together as a family, who are all in the same trench, who are primarily focused on the safety of all Australians. And we need to be quite vigilant across all Australia in terms of what is currently going on and how can we all come together to ensure the safety and the security of all Australians.
Okay, how? What do we do? Well, I mean, the vigilance is
anything
up to the police force and the authorities.
Anything that we see needs to report it to the government agencies at all level. This is the message that's going on to all communities. If we see any traits of people, young or old, or even those that might be disturbed psychologically, who start talking about different rhetoric that we see is not in the best interest of Australia, then obviously we need to try to report that to the agencies. This is much of a very strong statement that as community leaders, we've been talking to our own community members to ensure that they pass that comment to anyone, whether from within the community or to the agencies directly. Also, the call has been going out to the government throughout the last few years about supporting programs that can help diffuse these type of fundamentalist or extremists from a preventative measure, and we're still waiting on the government to be quite active in doing so.
What do you want them to do?
To try to determine from all the research report that many different universities have been engaged in forming those reports, take those reports more seriously and see what more can be done at a community level across Australia. So there's been many different research that has been implemented, and this is where the government needs to take those reports quite seriously and the recommendations
okay.
that have been given by those research reports from very well-known institutions.
Are you aware of whether this man was well-known in the Muslim community?
Not at all. I mean, we've seen...
He's had a fair bit of publicity over the years.
Oh, he's created his own publicity. He's someone who's actually been disowned by the community because his rhetoric, his narrative, has been very much a lone operator in some of the rhetoric that he's demonstrated. He's gone to court a few times. He's been on the police watch list. He's been out on bail, and you've seen the discussions today that bail control needs to be tightened. I think the Premier of New South Wales have taken those calls seriously. And I'm hope that between now and January, that will become even more tougher. You've got an individual who had those traits, and we needed to take even more focused attention about how these individuals might operate.
Well, back in 2008, a Shia leader asked the authorities to investigate him. In 2008.
Exactly. That's to the point. What have we done as a society?
You make the point about him being psychologically ill, and I don't think there's any doubt about that, and the nature of it not being part of an organised ISIL operation. But isn't that the whole nature of the lone wolf, that ISIL or ISIS appeals to these sort of disturbed or disaffected individuals and radicalises them?
Of course they do. And this is where the danger is. Well, I mean, how far do we need to be vigilant? And now the call is even talking to those where, if they're not very active, they're not on a watch list, even those who, like you've described it, if they suffer some psychological issues, are they being closely monitored by the agencies?
Do we know yet, was this motivated by religious beliefs, even perverted religious beliefs?
I honestly don't think so. If you watch what has been occurred on the news, where the guy is asking to have a Skype interview with the Prime Minister, if someone was motivated in such an extent, you would probably see a different type of approach. It really clearly demonstrates a signs of someone who is suffering some psychological issue. I'm not an expert in that field to determine why he would behave or react in such a way and what is the driver behind it. But obviously we need the experts to sort of give us their view and their perspective on this type of issue.
Are you concerned about potential retaliation against Muslims?
Well, look, my friend, there has been some that has been taking place. Women being spat out. Obviously those are easily identified as Muslims wearing the hijab or wearing the scarf. We've been reported, we do have an Islamophobic website or Facebook page where we've allowed community who face such type of incidents to actually report that, so we've seen a bit of an acceleration. But at the same time, there's been something very positive.
But you haven't had retaliation out of this incident yet, have you?
Well, we have. Since yesterday, there has been some stuff. But nevertheless, I think emotions are running high, and this is where the call with institutions such as yourself to maintain calm and peace and harmony, that we're all standing shoulder to shoulder, trying to diffuse this as a family together in one trench. You've seen the hashtag, I'll ride with you.
Yes,
that's also been causing a lot of positive impact. And we need more and more of such events to ensure that people feel quite at home, quite safe in going about their daily life. We're not going to feed into the rhetoric that allows even more PR exercises from those radical elements to encourage more and more of those who might be prone to such type of events or taking things upon their hand. We need to diffuse that. So it's the will of good people and good men and women out there to ensure that we come together and not allow for any lunatic to think that he can make a hero or martyr out of himself.
Thank you very much for your time. Samir Dandan.